Thank you. I'm sorry.
Managed to starve.
Could you just repeat, what kind of measures did you say, Sherry?
Austerity.
Austerity measures.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
For example, reducing the duration of a meeting from 3 days to 2 days, things
okay.
like that.
Okay. Thank you.
Sorry.
Well, first of all, I appreciate Mike Martin as the chair of the Finance Committee, and I think it's a really good report and very distinct and very clear. Mike, you mentioned that there are three elements that lead to this shortfall. One is the reduction in listener support. The second is loss of CPB funding. And the third is hemorrhage of legal expenses, and they're significant. Is there a fourth element? You know, our election and our democratic process here, we have been expending quite a bit of our resources. Was there any attention given to that in the NFC, in the National Finance Committee, how we can deal or reduce some of that?
We have not yet discussed the cost of elections, but I think, Sarv, your comment is timely and insightful and needs to be addressed not only by NFC, but by the Elections Committee.
Okay. Before we take more questions of Mike, I just want to make sure that Lonnie does or does not have a component to add to Mike's report on the finances. So the report is incomplete until Lonnie participates or decides that he doesn't want to. Lonnie?
Yes, just a few additional comments. And I think about it as vulnerable areas or areas for opportunities. One is the election costs. We are overspent the election budget this year by about $85,000. And unfortunately, we're still expending in the election area, as you know. And we also have another area that we're looking at that may be of some vulnerability, and that is for HD conversion. That is, we're looking at grants from CCB for converting our transmitters to HD capability. Of course, we want to do that, or at least there is many, many radio stations are doing it. But in order to complete the grant cycle, we have to raise funds, that is matching funds. And we've been discussing how that can go. But it would mean that stations would have to raise even additional funds. And that area needs to be looked at in terms of how that will be achieved. So that is of some concern. The only other area I mentioned in terms of outgo would be at KPFK. They were raising money in connection with some ADA improvements they thought to make. So while that's good to raise those additional funds, they're unavailable for general operating and more or less are restricted dollars. And but you have to raise a match in some of the for conversions as well. So that's a hidden but additional burden. Finally, I would say just generally overall, we do need to have a contingency plan. We do need to divide that up into 30, 40, 30, 60, 90, because I think we're at the margins and over that time period and come back to the board with something. The end of that period, over the next 30, 60, 90 days, we have agreed to look at our 60th anniversary as a revenue and producing activity, and many stations and some stations are looking to do that. I think that in light of these numbers and these factors, that the 60th anniversary as a way to raise funds is critical. And I would really urge the board to move in terms of having a board committee we had to look at what we can, not only at the board level but at the station level around that. But I think that if we can do it, we can raise additional funds against these terrible-looking numbers. It would be very, very beneficial. Anyway, that's my comment.
This is Nicole. I have a couple of questions and a statement. Lonnie, I have a question about the HD conversion. I believe that was a note in the audit that I read, and we have received those funds from CPB, correct?
We've received a partial. About the grant generally is $80,000 per HD conversion. And then they require us to match a minimum, most cases, $63,000-$65,000.
Right. So if we don't do the conversion, we send back the money. Just so you know, folks, I did an HD conversion at the last station that I managed, KALW in San Francisco. We did get the seed money from CPB. It really wasn't a huge match. It was a $100,000 match that we raised. I had that in reserves. I just used that. There are distinct advantages to an HD conversion, distinct advantages. So I, you know, it would be a pity not to be able to receive the funds from CPB, receive the second half payment, and not complete these projects. With regard to 60th anniversary and fundraising, I think that Lonnie and I have divergent viewpoints on this. I think anniversaries are great for visibility and consciousness raising and a reason to bring more people to listen and hopefully become members. But one of the things I've always found is that revenue follows the audience. And I launched the 50th anniversary campaign for KPFA. It was really more of a visibility event and an event to bring forward major donors who had given to the prior capital campaign of KPFA, to bring them back into the station, to put together a major donor group, and to begin to cultivate them. So while it's an excellent umbrella to be able to build bridges for major donors, to have a bit of a sexy ask, if you will, it really should, I feel, should not be counted on as significant revenue. There was one more point, and I'm sorry if I am not coming up with that. The other thing I think we need to be looking at, as well as costs coming at us, I was recently, this past week, in Washington, D.C. for Take Back America, which had been previously booked, and didn't cost the foundation a dime. And I was able to meet with Ron Pinchback, who is the GM at WPFW, and they're facing a capital move. And while they may get a school for a dollar and get great help from Washington, D.C. itself with regard to a property or a place, there are enormous costs involved with converting that into a radio station, with building it out technologically, with you don't even know what kind of you might have to have in school, asbestos removal or ADA right there. So I think we need a calendar flow chart about when any moves might be happening and the capital needs. But I think that's a significant cost that we have to be looking at, because it's just not going to be an issue of getting a great deal on a building or a piece of property. The significant costs are going to be in the build-out and moving that station.
Thanks, Nicole, for reminding me about the WPFW. But I agree that when talking about the 60th anniversary, that's precisely what happened at WPFW, brought out a major donor. But I agreed. In my CFO report, I do give an outline of the major areas, vulnerabilities that won't show up in a budget, but are there. And a timeline of when we would be needing to look at these issues. So it's in that January CFO report for people to look
at. Great.
Okay. This is Lisa.
Margaret, I'd like to get on the stack.
Ambrose, I'd like to go on the stack too.
Yes, Thomas, I'd like to speak too if I get a chance.
And this is Dan, I'd like to speak also.
Sherry, we're at 18 minutes, just informationally.
Sherry.
Hello?
Madam Chair, are you there?
Hello?
#1 if you're muted.
I'm sorry, I was muted. Am I here now? Lisa, you go. I have Lisa. Nia, is that true, or is it?
It was Margaret, Ambrose, Thomas, Dan.
Right, thanks. Lisa, Margaret, Ambrose, Thomas, Dan, and Sarv, did you want to be on or not?
No.
Okay, so let's go, Lisa. I'm sorry, I apologize.
Okay, first of all, I want to say thanks for both reports to Nicole and to Mike. But just one thing, and I'm sure everybody is so aware of this, but I can't help but think about it every time we talk about the funds, and I'm not using this as any excuse, but the times in which we live, such a economic downturn. I know people are just tightening up everywhere, and and I continue to hear things, and it's not very good. So I'm sure that will have something to do with our fundraising and how we go about it, because, you know, I mean, I'm always thinking that there also has to be ways, you know, you ask for the larger donors, but also ways to get the nickels and the dimes sometimes. But I was just reading something today, and it was like, oh, gosh. You know, and I just know how I'm feeling and being hit so hard myself. Just had to just throw that out there, that's all.
Okay, thank you. Lisa, is that it?
Yes.
Margaret?
Yes. I wanted to ask, I guess, Lonnie and Mike about this for some clarification. There's a lot of alarm at KPFK among the staff. People, needless to say, are totally freaked out, quite honestly, of... You know, a paper was handed out at a staff meeting that we're $600,000 in debt. Then after some investigation, as Mike, you said, that there seems to be a discrepancy with that figure from the national figures. But people are really wanting to know, what is it? You know, what is the shortfall at KPFK? If it's not $600,000, then what is it? And also, they want to know, you know, why is there a discrepancy? And, you know, this, I'm sure we're all alarmed by the report we just heard. I must say it's a little bit different than the report, at least the impression that I got when we met in Newark. So I'm glad for this update. But I would like some clarification in terms of the differences in the figures, because people at KPFK, they really do want to know. And also in terms of fundraising, you know, the horse is out of the gate. I mean, we are in crisis, and I think we have to look to see what kind of expert fundraising group or something that can be put together to look, you know, to come up with a plan for us here for all of the Pacifica stations, is what it sounds like. I don't think we can just rely on kind of, you know, the same old as we've been doing. I mean, everybody's been, I'm sure, trying their best, but we have to move beyond that and realize, as Mike said, I mean, the place is on fire. I'm wondering if we could just address that.
Margaret, so I think that your question is in two parts. One, who can respond to Margaret's question about the actual deficit situation in KPFK? That's number one. And number two, the general question about requesting assistance to revitalize the fundraising, since the listener-supported technique is indicating signs of listener fatigue, and we're also heading into depression. So... who can answer the first part of Margaret?
I'd like to speak to the part too. Is why is there a discrepancy? That's what people are saying. Well, is it 600,000 or is it 150,000? Like, what is
right,
it, and why
right,
are
right.
there two?
Who can answer that?
Let me respond, Lonnie here.
Okay.
Well, I don't know who issued that report, but it's not entirely accurate. As I recall, that report said over the last 4 years. So you have to keep in mind, whoever did the report was trying to convey that over the last 4 years, KPFK's reserves, which totaled 4 years ago, $450,000, have been depleted. So it's sort of a difference between, there's a difference between saying debt and depletion of reserves. But that accounts for $450,000 of that figure. And then looking forward in this year, in terms of where the station might go, it might add an additional $150,000 to in terms of being able to replenish even a half a month. So it would be a half a month away from what it needs, or $150,000. So that's where that, I believe, the total came from. And that, I think, explains the difference. For a single year, it's $150,000. But if you go back 3-4 years, well, you could say, yes, those savings have been depleted. It's not good enough in Pacifica, as we've had that discussion many, many times over the last 3 or 4 years, to break even. Stations need to have at least a half a month to carry over into the month of October after the end of our fiscal. Otherwise, they're using their reserves. And that's what happened at KPFK.
Madam Chair, we are a couple of minutes over time.
Okay. Is anyone who spoke, and I'm going to ask either Mike or Lonnie or Nicole, who can respond to Margaret. I think Mike Martin in his report indicated that there is a committee that's looking at short-term and long-term solutions to the financial worries of Pacifica. Mike, could you respond in part?
Yes, Margaret, I guess the way to answer your question is that we'll be back at the next meeting to talk about this. We put together a small group to start working on a short-term contingency policy. And one of the problems that we have, Margaret, is that we don't have a policy in place to deal with these issues. We kind of fly by the seat of our pants every time it happens. So that is our short-term goal. And then I think the committee wants to embrace a long-term recovery plan. And in that regard, I would remind the signal areas of a motion that we did pass at the last PNB meeting, and that is that the signal areas, the LSDs for each signal area, are already charged with the task by June 1st of creating a local off-air development plan for each signal area so that the LSDs can be engaged in how to increase fundraising as well. Don't forget that June 1st deadline on that motion.
Okay.
I'd like to speak in with regard to fundraising and how this kind of dovetails in.
I have a question before you do. Who has that motion, Mike, that you just referred to for the LSD?
It was a motion I proposed that was passed unanimously at the last PNB in the Newark meeting.
Okay. And in the meeting in New Jersey?
Yes.
Okay.
And I've reminded the treasurers for each LSD about that motion, as well as the motion on making sure we're in compliance with the financial policies and procedures. So that's been subject of discussion at NFC already.
Okay. So you have forwarded via email that motion to the designated treasurers of each LSD?
I can't remember if I did by email, but that's a good idea to remind them.
Okay, I would appreciate if you would do that. Okay.
Okay.
Nicole and then Wendy.
Do we need to extend time, or would you rather do this more informally?
Let me
to extend time 10 minutes.
On this particular section?
Yeah, 5 minutes.
Okay. All right. Is there a second? Do we need it?
Second.
Okay.
All right, Nicole and then Wendy.
Just in the immediate, for example, I brought up WPFW meeting with Ron. Part of the conversation is that Ron and the development director and I, and then as, you know, it's like we get the calendar going. Then we need to come up with the drawings, et cetera. We stabilize the location. Now, with regard to the fundraising, I said to him, we start to begin to work with the local development director in building the list, working the file, and then when it's time to go out to a few major donors, I come with, and we begin to make those asks. Now, where the LSBs can be useful is that once we come up with the needs at each station, that they work, they don't compete against each other or compete against the station. That instead, for example, at WPFW, we then can go to the LSB and say, give us 10 names of people you know that we can then approach to possibly make an ask and get them involved in this capital campaign. So you're just as valuable with your Rolodexes as you are and your network, and that is at all levels of income, because each fundraising activity at each station will have components. Basically, you work from the top down, you get your major money in, and then you work down from that until the final ask is where everybody can jump in. And that's where all people on throughout the economic chain can become part of it. But I think we have to guard against competing with each other and the LSDs competing with the station. The other component that I want you to know is that pursuant to the Houston meeting, remember I said we didn't really get to that fundraising component that I had built into the agenda. Part of what came out of that was that Lem, who is very successful with fundraising, comes out of development. She's the interim GM at KPFA, volunteered to start to form a core working group. And my intention is to bring on then somebody from staff from each station, whether that's the GM or maybe the development director, to begin to see if there are strategies we can develop both on air and off air And I do believe we have to look at economies and efficiencies of service. We can talk about this. I'd like to talk about this at the upcoming Houston meeting. It means a bit of a cultural change, but I think that we can find ways to share more and thereby decreasing expenses. But I just want everybody to really stay grounded. I think Lisa brought up a really good point. We are in a depression. And stay really grounded about this money talk. And just one more thing, Margaret, I can't speak to the discrepancy around the KPFK situation. My gut tells me that it's really destabilizing the station and that it's not a good thing. Some of what I've seen from email, I can tell that it's having this kind of effect. I don't know what to say other than it's serious that way. These things have ripple effects. So I'll do my best to get my head around it, and I hope to get down to L.A.
Okay. So the stack we've extended was Ambrose, Thomas, Dan, and then Wendy.
And Bob, please.
And Bob. Okay, Ambrose.
Let me ask the chair of the Finance Committee just a couple of questions.
Yes, Ambrose.
Was there any discussion properties we own and their value, number one? Was there any discussion of the lines of credit or borrowing funds?
Madam Chair, could somebody mute their phone? Can't hear.
Who's ever talking in the background, it actually interferes with other people's ability to listen. So if you do #1, you're off. And if you're like me, you'll never remember to come back on. Go ahead, Ambrose.
Can you first address those two questions?
Ambrose, there's been no discussion on those two specific points. To get our arms around the problem, and it sounds like to me your questions are kind of aimed at, these might be potential areas of solutions, and I think that we will probably embark on that in our short-term contingency task force to begin addressing some of that. But at this point, we have not actually had a discussion about those two issues.
And not a question of lines of credit?
Have not had a discussion about lines of credit. I don't know where you're going with that.
Let me tell you where I'm going.
Okay.
We own a building in Los Angeles, San Francisco. Own them outright. We build them. And I sat in 2005, because I was concerned about doing something about that building in Berkeley. So I had a CFO and a treasurer from down in L.A., I believe, was sitting in my office and call the banks and find out how much money we could borrow and what it would cost us. And they found that they could borrow up to $1 million without putting up any collateral. But the board's mind was totally turned against borrowing money or even a line of credit. Line of credit simply means that you have the money available to you when you need it, if you need it. Or if you don't need it, it sits there. But we haven't treated this corporation like a corporation. And we are talking about doing things in each individual signal area. That's fine. But we are a corporation. Those entities are not corporations. Only we can borrow that money. Only we can deal with the banks the way we should deal with them. And the same thing applies to when we go out to try to solicit money. Now, they might be nice to you and say, I like KPFA. They have to give the money to Pacifica. And it's time this board began to I'm glad we got new members on the board, because the board has to start thinking like a corporation. That's what we are. And until we do, we are going to continue to drive ourselves into the ground instead of taking actions that any nonprofit corporation does across the country. And that's the point I'm trying to make. That's all I've got to say, ma'am.
Thank you, Ambrose.
Madam Chair, we're at 34 minutes.
Okay, I have on the stack Thomas, Dan, and Dan hasn't spoken, Wendy and Bob. So let's just move on a little bit.
Sherry, this is Grace. I'd like to be on the stack for a very brief request.
I know, everybody always prefaces their stuff with it's going to be brief. But, Thomas?
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bonnie.
What I wanted to say is that after these very thoughtful reports, first from Nicole and then from Mike, I think that we need to look at what we really can do. With regard to the financial crisis that was described and reported to us from the Finance Committee, I think what we need to do is look at the discretionary expenses that the board makes, that Pacifica makes, some of which we know are very high, but we've never addressed them. Nicole mentioned premiums. Our premium costs are projected to be about $800,000 this year. I don't see why in the world, this board and our executive director cannot come up with a mandate for the executive director and the five general managers to cut the premiums in half this year. They're way out of line. And to me, we're buying listenership with these gifts. We're not producing good programs that induce people to listen to our shows. With regard to the websites, actually, WPFW is improving its website, which is still inadequate. And I find that the other stations have much better websites, and Pacifica has a much improved website. But everybody's website needs improvement. But I've always wondered why we have seven websites. Why don't we have one? And so since we've never seen the wisdom in consolidating this all into one website with several pages that can represent each of the stations in the national office, I really think that until we get that in hand, we ought to suspend expenditures on websites or put them all under the control of the executive director, because our five general managers have just gone wild. And I have to admit, the other stations go wild in a much more productive manner than WPFW, but we're actually spending vast sums to improve five different station websites when really it probably would be more economical if we consolidated them into one. And instead of spending $300,000 this fiscal year on websites, we spent $75,000 on one great website that would cover the whole network. With regard to bank costs, Lonnie said something at the end of last year that we never addressed, and I think we need to address. The five stations have so much autonomy, they have their own bank accounts, and the larger their payroll operation and the larger their other operations, the larger their bank costs. I don't know why we don't have one Pacifica bank account such that instead of spending, about $300,000 for bank costs. If we had it in one bank, and if we could consolidate that and manage our expenditures effectively, whatever we're doing with all these bank accounts, do it out of one account, maybe we could cut that in half. Maybe we could cut that down to a third. I just don't know. But I really see that our expenditures are way out of hand, and it's because our stations generate such expenditures, and the national board has no sway over that. I think that's much better than going back to the idea that Lonnie put out last year, and that is cutting out one of the national board meetings. I wish we had better board meetings when we meet. I see that we're really working to have much better board meetings by telephone. That ought to save money. And if we really amended the bylaws and cut down the size of the board and perhaps eliminate the local station boards, we would find that we'd save a lot of money because we wouldn't have to travel so many people around. But putting that aside, that's the gist of where I'm going. I think we need to look at premium costs, website, and bank costs, these discretionary expenditures, and try to cut our costs there. Premiums and websites, I think our executive director sitting down with the five general managers could address that very quickly and come back to us with a plan that we could adopt. With regard to what Nicole said in her report, What I heard was fantastic. Okay. Closing up in 20 seconds. She mentioned a lot. It was wonderful, and everybody said it was wonderful. I've just found that sitting on this national board, when we have these reports, they're always wonderful. It's like a pep rally. The follow-up is what I really know that Nicole's going to have to deal with, the follow-up. And with regard to the different national conventions for this year's election, I noticed that in D.C. we have a news bureau chief. I've often complained about the work by that particular employee. Please, please, please see how productive Verna's going to be in that work. And that's what I'd say. Thank you very much.
Okay, great. And I want to admonish the participants that in terms of any comments about employees, that their names not be mentioned. Thank you. Dan?
Hello?
Dan?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Good. Well, first of all, let me say I am eager to work with Mike and the Finance Committee and Lonnie to deal with these financial issues. Having said that, I think that we need to have greater clarity on some of the numbers. Mike said, based on his committee report, that we're hemorrhaging money for legal expenses. Now, I just looked at my record. Last year, Pacifica paid my firm $62,000 in the course of the year. That might be that we'd be better off not having any legal expenses, but that's not a big number. It represents less than 1/3 of 1% of Pacifica's budget. And so I don't think there's much room for savings there. And if I'd like maybe offline, Mike and I should have a conversation to figure out what his report is based upon and what projections it's based upon.
Well, Dan, let me just say this, because it's not you, okay? I don't even think that you were even in the thought when we had that discussion. We're talking about the actual cost of the lawsuit, the cost of outside counsel. Heck, if the deal we had was with you, we'd be in great shape. So I don't think that that's the emphasis. The emphasis is on the lawsuits. Some of them are board-driven lawsuits. Some of them are generated by conduct on the board or by board members. Other lawsuits are generated by governance issues, and they're costing us a fortune, not from your office, but by virtue of the cost of, for example, the election contest in New York.
Right. Well, the other thing I wanted to say about that, and again, I know time is tight now, that I have asked, and I think the board has supported, the idea that I be a gatekeeper on legal expenses. So, you know, I'm just, and thank you. I don't think that my office is overcharging Pacifica, but if we are hemorrhaging money for legal expenses, and there's no one within Pacifica who is auditing that from the point of view of legal expertise, then I think that may be part of the problem. Because I know that when I negotiated, for example, with Dan Silverman's firm to represent us in two of the cases in New York, I made a good deal. In fact, the package was for $15,000 for two whole cases, and I've held the line on that. So I think that's one way in which we can help. I think organizations do better when there's a single point of contact for legal expenses. The other thing I want to say is that I hope we can all sort of look at numbers together. I've now heard that cutting one board meeting will save $70,000. I've previously heard that the cost was $40,000. And so, again, I think the extent to which we can all be looking at the same numbers, the board's going to be able to make the best decisions. Then the final thing I want to say is that in terms of my review of station budgets, my understanding was that with the exception of the $200,000 at BAI, all of our stations have projected balanced budgets for the current fiscal year. So when people raise concerns about not being able to make payroll and so on, my question is, are we talking simply about cash flow variations, or are we talking about adjusting the adopted budget to show deficits when in the past we've thought those budgets, and particularly at A and K, We're balanced.
Okay. Is there anybody that can answer or will answer Dan now? Mike?
Well, I mean, I just want to, I think the number on the Pacifica board meetings varies. The last time we talked about it, the issue was, well, cost of hotels and transportation are going up because, you know, so is fuel. But so I think that may be one of the reasons for the change in the number. But I did want to emphasize that I don't know that the National Finance Committee was coming from the standpoint that, you know, Dan is not auditing and policing the lawyers he's hiring or that the lawyers' fees are too high. I don't think that's where we were coming from at all. Where we were coming from is that the lawsuit itself, the fact that one is filed, is what's generating the cost. And what we need to get a handle on and what we need to try to accomplish is the adoption of a risk management plan which focuses on reducing litigation, reducing the chance and propensity for lawsuits. Now that we have a human resources person on board, we've got Nicole on board, we've got our very good legal counsel, Dan, I think with those heads put together, maybe we can start moving forward towards a litigation risk management plan that reduces the lawsuits because it's the lawsuits that drive the cost. That's, I think, the one point I wanted to make.
Okay. And
Madam Chair, this is Nicole. May I make a point?
Yes.
I want to echo Dan on the on how we all need to be looking at the same numbers. It's not happening. On the HR, our HR director, let us hope that, you know, this will really, because some of these are HR directly related. But I don't think we can minimize or diminish the cost of governance. And I think what's surprising to me is that this was never projected out over the long term and the kind of impact it would have to the bottom line. And when I say governance, I just mean the whole kit and caboodle, from the elections to the travel to the calls to the overhead to the hidden costs, which are the costs on staff and the staff time that's lost in needing to service the governance, which could be far more productive spent on things like having discussions on premiums. So let's not diminish that and the fact that, at least from my understanding, it was never projected out, much less the elections, and when those implode, the costs then seem to be never projected out.
Okay. And any other comments otherwise on the stack from people who could answer? Okay. On the stack is Wendy, Bob, and Grace. Wendy.
Oh, sorry, I was on mute. Again, am I distorted now?
Pardon me?
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah. It's just a little distorted. Are you very right on top of your mic? Or?
No, it's like up by my eye, which is kind of interesting. But it's okay. I'm going to be really quick. I appreciate, again, I'm just going to point this out. This is like the best board meeting that I've ever been to, and it's, you know. So it's been a really frank discussion. I appreciate everybody, all the points that have come out. I think it's really important that we don't get defensive. And, you know, I'm kind of saying this to you, Dan, right now. Nobody said it was about you. I mean, the point is well taken. That,
I do, Wendy.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, and Mike's point about risk management and the points about the governance being too expensive, all of it is all about we need to be more efficient, and I think that we're on a good track now to start actually talking about, you know, what we need to be talking about, which isn't, you know, who did what at what station today or whatever. We can hopefully move on through that. But the reason I asked to speak was about the importance of knowing what we did at our last meeting, which kind of factors into all of this, and the fact that we passed an important motion at the New York meeting that talked about each station LSB coming up with at least the start of a plan, a development plan, where we would talk about what we were going to do to raise money off the air, and this would be due by June. And it's now 2 months after the PNB meeting in Newark, and our chair doesn't even know that we passed that motion. I just wanted to reiterate that the PMB needs to be professional in what it does. It's bound by law to have minutes of its meetings. So I'm very excited that we're on the track to doing that now. And I hope that, I guess, Mike has to do it. Send out the motion that you propose to the LSBs because they don't know it. Don't send it to their finance committee. Send it to their LSB chairs or their LSB secretaries or whoever. And let's get our development plans in place. And I'm very excited by this meeting. Thank you guys all.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Wendy, Bob.
Well, there's many major issues that people have raised that I would like to comment on, but I think in the interest of time, I'm sure we're going to have a lengthy discussion in the Houston meeting. So I just want to go directly to the motion from the Finance Committee about canceling the June PNB meeting and say that I reluctantly support that motion. And I say reluctantly because one of the virtues of having an in-person meeting is a very important opportunity to directly interact with listeners and staff from at least that Signal area, and sometimes people actually spend their own money to fly to the station in order to, or to the Signal area to deal with the board, but and that's an important part of keeping the board accountable. However, we are in a financial crisis, and we need to put our priorities clearly. So I support that. I also am proposing an amendment that would look to further economies. And just briefly, it's a three-part amendment. The first part would be asking the National Office to investigate the feasibility of holding the September PNB meeting in August as a means of saving money on food and lodging, and then report back to the PNB at the May meeting. And the idea in mind here was that it could be a time that a college campus might be available, that it wouldn't be in September when school is in session, that would be far cheaper than staying in a hotel. The second part would be to direct the Finance Committee to investigate and develop a cost savings proposal for economizing on the cost of PNB meetings in general, including transportation, lodging, and food. This should include exploring the possibility of caps on particular expenses, and the committee should report back to the PNB by the June meeting. And the idea of caps might be that board members could be given an allowance that you will have up to X dollars to book your airfare, but if you wait and do it too late and the fee is higher, you're going to have to shoulder that yourself, and that would be an incentive to people to act quickly. That's just an example. And the final point would be the PNB directs its technology committee to explore the financial and technical feasibility of video, audio, and or web-based conferencing of PNB meetings and report back to the PNB by its June meeting. I think the technology exists that we can have much more interactive meetings that could actually break down the financial barrier to people who can't afford to fly to other Signal areas, but who could participate electronically in listener and staff comment, in public comment, and also witness what the PNB is doing. And the PNB members could actually talk to each other remotely by perhaps webcams. And this could, while there might be a startup cost that would be it would, in the long term, I think, save costs on the in-person meeting. Not to eliminate in-person meetings, but to reduce the frequency of them. So that's my amendment. I want to offer that now.
Those are
Madam Chair, may I just say something?
Okay.
Thank you, Bob.
No, wait.
But I need guidance. And that is, Bob, I had Donna Gates and I today looked at the schedule of the upcoming meetings. I think the August is a great idea. Can you all decide as we move forward? Per our schedule, it's supposed to be in Los Angeles. So are we good on that? Because I can put her to researching this. Are we all good on Los Angeles? The next is jump down to the third, Bob. And I'd also like, if you don't mind, to also make inquiries at the staff level.
Sure.
Because we may have some good tech people that we can just directly, that I can just directly go to.
Absolutely.
And they may know of firms that we can go to and maybe even get a donation.
Whatever works.
Or people willing to do like video conferencing for a really low price. So if you don't mind, let's take that a two-prong. I think it's great that the technological committee, you know, looks at that as well. But I'll do a staff thing, too, if you don't mind.
Can I get a point of order here?
Okay, point of order.
It's just that it also requires a change in the bylaws or some kind of work around the bylaws. What, you know, we have to talk about the bylaws on that, so let's get it all together and work from that angle, too. You know?
This is Lisa.
Is this okay? It was Lisa and Bonnie.
I'm next on the stack. This is Grace.
Grace, you're next on the stack on the finance and the report from Nicole so far. Bob moved. Bob, I guess it amended the finance committee motion in three parts. So, and then Nicole. I don't know if she amended your amendment or not.
I didn't amend anything.
She can't. Executive director amend?
No, but we just need some guidance on where to look for the August meeting.
Okay.
Or
all
if
right.
it, you know, if the amendment passes.
That will come next. Let me deal with this.
Madam Chair, we're at 55 minutes on this.
Okay.
Topic.
So,
if it'll help, I'll accept those the letter or amendments as friendly.
Fine. Thank you. Okay. So now, if he accepts them, do we just vote on the motion as amended since he accepted the amendments?
No,
Bob?
You got a point of order from me. This is Tom.
Oh, I didn't even hear you talk.
No, I didn't say it. I was just listening to everybody, but you're definitely going to have a point of order. I don't care what anybody says. Everybody's acknowledged that it would violate Article 6, Section 1 of the bylaws. You just can't change it. I mean, if we're going to talk about prospectively, let's plan for it. But all you're saying is we got some stupid bylaws, and that's what we need to deal with.
May I just respond, Thomas? I don't know if you were on the part of the meeting when
I probably
Mike.
Probably wasn't.
Okay. So Mike referenced another part of the bylaws that said that as fiduciaries to this foundation, we are responsible for the financial well-being, and because there is a financial crisis. He felt that portion of the bylaws would be equal to or superseded the requirement.
I did hear that part.
Oh, all right. So now you're still going to make your point of order.
Yeah,
correct?
The point of order. That's that a specific provision of the bylaws prevails over a general standard, a general statement of principle. That general statement about our fiduciary obligations doesn't mean that we can ignore Article 6, Section 1, which specifically says we're supposed to have a meeting in January, in March, in June, and September.
Okay.
And it's not to say that we as fiduciaries have addressed all these other discretionary expenditures, which I didn't state quite accurately, about $800,000 for premiums and not $300,000 for websites, but $92,000 for websites, and then $295,000 for banks. I mean, we do have things we can cut, far more than $40,000 or $70,000 for a board meeting. And for the board meeting, we don't have to bring all of the staff throughout the country to the board meeting. You know, there are things we could do to cut costs.
Okay.
Well, we're not bringing them to Houston.
Okay. Lisa's next, and then Bonnie.
This is just going to be just, you know, people were talking, just, I was just going to say sometimes where we can when planning board meetings, if we know that in certain areas it's going to be more expensive if we have it, like let's say in September instead of in January, sometimes we might want to look at that too, you know, because I know the New York area at certain times is just really a killer. So,
fine.
Margaret, I want to speak on this.
Okay, I want people to speak to the motion itself. Bonnie?
Sorry.
I believe that I am in favor of this notion of meeting in August rather than September. I just wanted to throw into the mix that several stations have 7 to 10 day fund drives in August, and if we could try to schedule that around those fund drives rather than in the middle of them.
Okay. Is that it?
Yeah, Margaret, can I just speak on this?
Margaret, I heard you. Bonnie, are you done?
I am.
Okay, Margaret.
Yes, I wanted to mention, throw that in, because KPFK is talking about doing an August fund drive. I don't think that the dates have been pinned down. I think people also have to recall that Southern California is a huge tourist destination, and the prices of airfares tend to go up rather than go down during those. And I'm wondering if it's possible that this group that will be investigating, you know, costs and places, et cetera, could look to see if we could have an auction. Because the other thing is that with a fund to drive, the staff is pretty exhausted at KPFK, with a fund to drive, and then following a fund drive to have a major national board meeting that people will want to participate in, you know, may, you know, be a bit of a stretch, you know, for some people, particularly those who are mothers and their kids are out of school and they've already had to, you know, shunt them somewhere, you know, to deal with the fund to drive. So I'm wondering if we could investigate whether there are places, whether campuses or other churches or other alternatives where we could find housing also in September. And we could, you know, in other words, the cost out August and cost out September and see where we're at and make a decision rather than making a decision right now and saying August, you know, when the KPFK, you know, the folks at KPFK, we haven't had, you know, their input and don't know what's happening and actually don't know what the cost in terms of travel will be for in contrast in those 2 months and how much that will make up for housing costs. And there may be some alternative cheaper housing costs also in that month. So I just wanted to throw that out there, that we do our homework, we do a little investigation, even if it takes a couple of weeks to do that, and then make a decision about it. But in principle, I support, you know, what Mike and Bob and Nicole and other people are saying with having to cut down on these meetings, because people at the stations are also complaining about that, the cost of the PNB meetings.
Okay.
This is Bob. Can I clarify? At the end of the stack.
Well, Bob, you are the end of the stack. Even though Grace was on the other stack, you're the end of this stack.
Okay. Well, I agree with Margaret, and that's the exact spirit of this motion. It says directs the National Office to investigate the feasibility of holding the September meeting in August. Margaret may be very well correct that it may end up being, and obviously this would be in conjunction with the KPFK LSB. It may turn out, after careful checking, that it would make sense to do it in September, but at a cheaper venue. So it's not a pre-commitment to hold it in August. It's an investigation. And maybe I should accelerate the timetable. I proposed a report back by the May meeting. Maybe it should be by the April meeting. So whatever the investigation is, we know one way or the other, and when we're in Houston, we can make a final decision which month it'll be in, based on heavily based on what the KPFK LSB recommends.
Okay.
Can I have a point of order, Sharon?
If it's really a point of order.
I think it is.
Okay.
Was this item about PNB meetings and when they should be on the agenda?
Part of the NSC report.
What?
Part of the NSC report.
But we didn't have it until just now, right?
What?
The NFC report?
We did have the NFC, the National Finance Committee report. That was
I don't think I did, but maybe I missed it.
Okay, it's okay. He'll do it again. I have no other comments on this. So,
call a question, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. Is
you
there any objection?
Pardon me. Madam Chair, you have to rule on my point of order.
Oh, gosh.
Yes, dear.
Okay. I am going to...
If I could just motivate it for a second.
No, you cannot. I'm ruling on Thomas's point of order. So I'm going to rule against this, Thomas, and if you'd like to challenge the chair, I welcome that as well.
It's so remarkable that we are actually having a thoughtful discussion. They had a dumb argument, and it's 10:30 Eastern time. So, I mean, you know, I feel that's all. I'm not even going to argue. Y'all know what the thing says in Article 6, Section 1, so that's what.
Okay.
Point of information, Madam Chair?
Yes.
Sir, is it possible that our legal counsel could look into that element of it prior to... implementing that motion.
Dan?
Of course.
Madam Chair,
One person at a time and your name first.
Thomas, this is Tom, this is Thomas. This is
Go
Tom.
Ahead.
I just wanted to suggest something. You know, no one's saying that we're not going to meet in Houston next month. And everybody knows that I'm citing a real live provision in the bylaws, and I know what Bob and Mike are saying and what everybody's agreeing to makes sense. Why in the world do we have to break from the wisdom that we've exercised thus far? Why don't we think about it for a month, talk for a month? We might even agree on how we could break the bylaws and come up with something that works. So could we put this off to the April meeting? And I mean, make sure we have a discussion, a vote. I'm not trying to put it off and duck it, but we don't have to vote and find that either if somehow my idea prevails or Mike and Bob's idea prevail, we make a mistake. Let's take the month and think. Could we do that? Could we just agree to that?
Bonnie, Madam Chair.
Yes, Bonnie.
I think that it would serve us all well if the National Office were able to investigate the feasibility of some of these things and bring that information to the April meeting if that were possible.
May I speak? This is Nicole.
Yes, Nicole.
Addressing to that, it's a tight timeline.
Yeah.
I can put Donna on it if Lonnie also knows her schedule and what her timelines are. We will look then for Los Angeles if we're all agreed that that's the next place. So we'll do our best
okay.
to come with some informed some information that you can make at least an informed decision with regard to the possibilities, really, of being able to meet an alternative place.
Okay. Thanks, Nicole. Now, I'm in a quandary here because here's my concern, board members, that if Thomas is right, it could generate those pesky little lawsuits were grown.
Madam Chair, Yosh?
Yes, Yosh.
Yes. I have to completely concur with Thomas, but there might be a very simple solution if there's a problem with the bylaws and we're all aware that there is a problem with the bylaws.
And what is
and
that?
Thomas is correct. A specific provision will always trump a general provision. And so we just change the specific provision. I mean, we're all in agreement that we're in a financial crisis, and if the bylaws need to be changed in order to, you know, to reduce the in-person meetings, then we should get just that, you know.
Yosh, the institutional memory actually will probably want you to put yourself in an institution. This very thing was circulated to the LSDs last year. Requesting, because of the cost involved, the way the bylaws are amended is that you need 3 out of the 5 LSBs to approve an amendment to the bylaws. And this very bylaw was circulated to the LSBs, and only 2 of them approved them.
Well, then we're, 2/3 the way there. And I would suggest a draconian measure, letting the LSB know that, if this bylaw amendment does not pass, then PNB will mandate a 15% reduction in staff and or salary.
This is Wendy.
We're here.
Okay, Wendy, and who else's voice was it?
This is Evelyn. Can I get on the stack, please?
Yes, May, Evelyn, of course. Wendy and then Evelyn on this stack. And Grace is still on the other stack. Go ahead.
Here's what I'm going to say, is that we have not had it laid out this clearly ever before that of what the financial crisis is. We would hear a blip, and then it would be redacted and go, oh, well, yeah, it actually wasn't that bad. Now I think that there would be a little more incentive to pass an amendment such as this. So I just, that's all.
Thank you, Wendy. And then Evelyn, Doc.
Okay. I would just like to second what Wendy said. I also would like to thank Michael for bringing a real clear statement of our position from the National Finance Committee. That gives you verbiage when you're trying to explain to your LSBs what the issues are. it really helps you to have specific things that you can lay before them. And I do believe that we could get an amendment at this point if we really had to do that to the bylaws, because everybody has the best interest of the foundation at heart, and I think if people understand and have the information to operate on, they'll make the right decision.
Carolyn on the stack, please.
I